Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. Today is episode 69. This one is episode 69 of my Cat Tunes Podcast. And today we're going to be talking about the second track from the Love in Space album, which is called Zero Gravity. Zero Gravity, as far as I remember, was one of the first tracks that went into production and was actually written. See, the very first one to be written was the ninth track on the album, which is called Your Desperate World. And that happened because in summer 2012, Leo Kralyov, the guy with whom I was collaborating on this album, he wanted, you know, he kind of tested me with that one. He sent me that first demo, and I've given him kind of like a pilot vision for what am I capable of and in which direction are we going to go. So then there was a pause, and then I believe somewhere around October that same year, a couple of months later, or maybe 3 months later, something around that, along those lines, he sent me in a whole bunch of very, very rough primitive demos, and I got to work. So as far as I remember, Zero Gravity was the next on the list. And somehow I felt that this track would be a very cool second track on the album. Because see, the first one, High Tide, it is kind of, it is epic. It is eclectic. It is very classical, in a sense. Harmonically, melodically, it's all very classical. But I wanted something to sit there on the second track, something that would be in contrast to the first one, something that would have a higher BPM rate. The BPM in Zero Gravity is 140, but the key is the same. You know, see, when I put together an album, another thing that I take in consideration, and I take a lot of factors into consideration, but one of the things is what keys are the song, are the songs in. So I try to avoid putting songs which are in the same key one after another, because I don't want the listener to dull their ears, basically. But in this case, I did put both of them one after another for a simple reason, and that reason is High Tide starts in D minor, but it does not stay in D minor. In the last section, it does a whole bunch of modulations, and it lands on C major plus 7, as far as I remember. So starting Zero Gravity in D minor and staying in D minor, essentially, throughout the song, with little to no deviations. That's yet another reason why Zero Gravity landed on the second position. So, fairly early did it go in production and into writing and lyrics. And I remember that Zero Gravity was early on. I was writing the lyrics for it, and I was thinking about a whole lot of things while writing that. Essentially, I guess what I was trying to get at is how fleeting things are, and how you might think that you know someone, and then it turns out that you don't, and how we fear to get it wrong when we're looking for that person. Of course, I was writing about love. I was writing about something that concerned me in the first place, because I had this dream of finding that Mr. Wright, and I've already had some experience by the year of 2012. And, but as usual, I didn't want to just write out my own personal frustrations or thoughts or emotions. No, that wouldn't necessarily translate into a good song. So I had to generalize, as usual, and I had to make this an experience that a lot of people could relate to. And I wanted to reflect this in the lyrics, and the music seemed to sit very well with this line of thinking. So, with that being said, let's read the lyrics. "And those who gave in resurrected those whom they've lost before. Some can't stop begging for more, the others can't die anymore. Someone's unleashed desires gave someone's cosmic joke too much life. All realities grow and derive. Death itself is awake and alive. I thought I saw you there in the crowd, in the midst of apocalyptical doubt. I could have saved our personal world, but the truth in your eyes unfurled. You might be anyone to me. I think I could be an illusion too. It just feels like zero gravity. It just feels like it isn't you. It isn't you. Those who can't let go pulled back those who could have been gone. The past is a curse when reversed. The future is condemned and perverse. Anyone is a lord and a god in his perfect world. This is what makes us so trapped and dead and brings the universe to an end. I thought I saw you there in the crowd, in the midst of apocalyptical doubt. You could have been my personal world, but the lie in your glance unfurled. You can be anyone to me, a tomb wherein I could be free. But what I see can't be true. I can't let you live, cause it's not you. What a chill not to feel. Time stays still while everything's alive and so dead. You can't be anyone to me, a tomb wherein I could be free. But what I see can't be true. I can't let you live because it's not you. This world dies at zero gravity. You're unreal because you're blind to me. Too much life kills reality as death comes to slay our sanity." So here are the lyrics. I gotta tell you this. Not only was I basing this song on, my love aspirations and my romantic experiences, I was also using a dream that I've seen at the time. And the significance of that dream was that in the dream, I've been in a very crowded place and I've seen people. I thought I know those people. I thought those were, the people whom I knew forever. I've seen my relatives, and I've seen the guy that I used to love. I've seen those people, and then in the dream, it turned out that they're not real, that I was wrong. And the implication in the dream is that while my first reaction was that all of this is unreal, and everybody's lying to me, and that, someone is trying to deceive me. At some point in the dream, I also realized that I could be the same way to them, that it might be not that it's I am being deceived. It might be that I am the deceptor. That they look, that they turn out to be not who I think they are, because I, to them, am an illusion. And not more than just an illusion. It was a very weird dream. And it stirred quite a few thoughts in my mind, and I wanted to kind of put it together and describe it. And I've used this song as a vehicle for it. Not only did I entertain this angle, this bizarre dream-like angle, but I was also drawing from my real-life experiences at that point and generalizing all of that. So I hope that for the most part you get the meaning of the lyrics, and the rest is, whatever you see, whatever you hear in those lyrics, that's up to you to decipher. Let's put it this way. And with that being said, let's move on to the music analysis, shall we? So here we go with the music analysis. As I mentioned before, the song is in the key of D minor, just like High Tide, the previous track, starts out in D minor. It is in D minor, but the BPM is a lot faster. Now it's 140 BPM. I will not be playing in that tempo, though. So let's listen to the intro, and then I will give some comments. So what do we have here? In the very, very intro, there is... Can't go that high right now. Like that, and then after that we're going, so harmonically, first we have a B flat major here. We're starting with the sixth, and we're in D minor. There's gonna be a one little but there. So a B flat major. That's where we're going next, and that is a G flat major. A G flat major with an altering a major 7 to minor 7 because of the melody. To an A major, a C major, back to a B flat major, G minor minus 7, A minor minus 7. Minus 7. And basically repeats itself twice, because first it's kind of on the quieter side of things, and then it moves on into a more, well, when the riff kicks in, when the guitars kick in and the drums, it's the same chord progression. Now let's move on to the verse.
Been resurrected though some be lost before. Some can stop begging for more. The others can't die anymore. Someone's selfish desires give someone's cosmic joke too much life. Our realities grow and derive. Death itself is awake and alive.
So here we go again. A pretty standard chord progression. Nothing really mysterious. Everything is pretty straightforward because the original draft was suggested by Leo, and Leo was into all of this classical, rather, may I say, Puritan chord progressions, kind of. I couldn't deviate from that, so I tried to riff it up, so to speak. But here's what's going on there. So it's now the verse starts in D minor. It's still D minor. We really are not leaving the key. Those who came in resurrecting, though some they've lost before. Some can't stop begging for more. Begging for more. The others can't die anymore. Someone's unleashed desires to give someone's cosmic joke too much life. All reality is grown and derived. Death itself is awake and alive. So there is a D minor. Then there is A major on the bass of depending. It kind of depends, because first time it's on the C sharp bass, second time it's on the E. Then there is, again, D minor, D major on the bass of F sharp, then there is a G minor, then G minor on the bass of F, going into the bass of E. And into an A major, minus 7, and it's first a suspended 4th. And then it goes into just an inversion, basically, an A major, minus 7, into an A major on the bass, minus 7 on the bass of C sharp. And it repeats itself twice. You see that there are basically no variations in the melody, really, and the melody is pretty straightforward. And then after that, we're moving right into the hook. Let's listen. The hook is really riffed up. The chord progression is straightforward. It's a very simple chord progression. The problem is, it's not a problem, but what makes this hook sound more complex than it really is all the motion, all the movement that's going in the guitars, in the bass, all of that kind of stuff. It's all inversions, it's little melodic snippets of this and that. It's all riffed up. I like to use this term. When something that is really simple is embellished and turned into riffs, guitar riffs and bass riffs, I call it, you know, to riff something up. So I will stick to the basics. I'm not going to try to play the actual riff that's playing underneath, because that's not the purpose of this podcast. I'm rather trying to illustrate the simplicity of things and dissect it, break it down in a simple, comprehensive way. So the hook, here's how it goes. Again, D minor. I thought I saw you there in the crowd, in the midst of a apocalyptical down. I could have sent a personal word, but the truth in your eyes unfurled. Be anyone to me, I think it could be an illusion too. Just feels like zero gravity. It just feels like it isn't you. So that's their basics. I saw you there
midst of apocalyptic down. I could have saved your personal world by the truth in your eyes unfurled. It might be anyone to me. I think it could be an illusion too. It just feels like zero gravity.
So there's a D minor, then an A major on the bass of E to an C sharp, A major on the bass of A, D minor, again D minor, then there is a diminished chord on the bass of C sharp. Then a diminished chord, diminished 7th chord on the bass of C. Then we're going into a G minor on the bass of B flat. And we stay there. Then there's a D minor on the bass of A. G minor on the bass of G. D minor on the bass of F. Then an E minor with a diminished 5th, minus 7. Going into a D minor. A major. D minor. Before we're moving any further, there was that little quarter that in the very end goes to an A major again. So that's basically what it is. And then after that, immediately we're going back into the intro riff. Same story, same chord progression exactly. Now, let's listen further, and I think this time we'll listen probably all the way through the next verse, the hook, the middle, and maybe, you know what, just let's listen to the end. Let's listen to the end, and then I'll comment.
Curse when reversed, the future is condemned and perverse. Anyone is the Lord and a God in his perfect world. This is what makes us so trapped and dead and brings the universe to an end. Yeah.
here. The second verse is essentially the same chord progression, same melody with a little variation as the first one. Then there is a hook, again, which basically is exactly the same hook like the first one, so there is nothing really interesting. Then we're going into this middle section, which goes like this. What a chill. Not to into the solo. So what's going on here in the middle section? We're starting with a B flat major. So we're starting on the sixth of the key. B flat major. It starts with a diminished fifth. The melody underlines this and creates tension, and that's why it is there. What a chill. And then all of a sudden, I've already used this chord, right? In D minor, I'm going to use it again. G flat major, plus 7. And then we're going into A major with an augmented fifth to a normal fifth. So you see what's going on there. The way I tend to think in modes about pieces like this, and I'm trying to see where can I place the melody so that it would take on the flavor of a mode. How can I surround it and emphasize it with certain chords to make it that way? So you could write down this melody as it is, without the chord context. You could write it out as if it's in D minor, and it will be correct. It's going to be pretty odd, right? But still. But the chords that surround this make it different. So here, I'm thinking of the B flat major chord here in the Lydian major mode. Then I'm doing the same exact thing to the next chord. That's why the melody moves that way. And then I'm doing the... kind of sounds mysterious and sad at the same time. And there is a G major minus 7 to a G minor minus 7, A major minus 7 augmented fifth, again, B flat major plus 7, G flat major plus 7, A major augmented fifth minus 7, G major minus 7 to a G minor minus 7, and and then to an A major minus 7. And then right after that, right from here, we're leaping into the solo, which is, the solo borrows the chord progression from the hook, essentially. That's exactly the same chord progression. This chord chain is still not over because there is half of the hook chord progression left. So on top of this, there is this shortened half a hook, which is basically the third hook, but with a different melody. The chord progression is the same, but it's kind of conclusive and sounds as the outro already. It can be anyone to me, and to from the intro once again. I repeat some. And then we're going into the outro. So, this world dies at zero gravity. You're unreal cause you blew tonight. Too much life kills reality. As death comes to slay your sense insanity. So it's basically the very outro of this chunk. And I apologize for not really hitting those notes. I've been talking all day long today. Recorded a cat talk episode. So at this point, I'm pretty tired. It's basically riff top, and there are little fragments of, it's all on D, 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 basically. And occasionally it goes to a B flat, and on the second phrase it goes to an A flat, or G sharp, let's be specific. And then again, B flat, and then, and that's how the song ends, basically. Let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, Zero Gravity is not really a complicated song. It's a pretty straightforward song, and I think it's actually one of the simplest songs on the Love in Space album. And generally speaking, on my catalog, I don't think there is much complexity to it. And on the other hand, I didn't want to make it as simple as a doorway. So, of course, I had to riff it all up musically, and quite frankly, I was discontent with Leo's suggestions as far as the chord progression, and I wanted to change it, but he wouldn't like it, essentially. So I had to stick to whatever I had and build on it. However, at least, I would like to hope that I have written lyrics that were sufficiently more sophisticated than and just any song. I wanted to make it special. I wanted to keep it special, and I wanted to use this musically rather simple song to convey a more complex message. It's kind of absurd in its own way, lyrically. it's kind of real and it's kind of not real at the same time. You can apply it to real life, and at the same time, it's borrowed from a dream that I've lived through. Granted, my dreams are always very vivid and they're lifelike, so it felt very real. And when I was writing about this, it was like a very, it felt like a revelation of sorts when I've seen that dream and then I was writing about this and generalizing these ideas. So that's basically what I have to say about zero gravity. Gravity, of course, gravity, of course, refers to attraction or love, like thereof, when things fall apart when there is no attraction. Sometimes things do fall apart when there is no attraction or when there is no interest. That's just how the world works and that's just how people are. So I want to encourage you to think about this. If you want to read the lyrics once again and actually read all of my lyrics for all of my released songs, I want to invite you to genius.com. Genius.com. Look for Catherine Corelli and you will find all of my lyrics. If you want to just, you know, quietly at your own pace, if you want to read them, and maybe, by the way, if you want to speculate or if you want to try to decipher some of my lyrics or provide some vision for what that could possibly mean, you're free to comment right there on genius.com, because as far as I remember, you can actually write remarks there, notes. On given lines or on entire lyrics. So if you want to do something like that, I would really appreciate this if you do something like this. And you can leave me comments there on genius.com as far as my lyrics go. Now, if you haven't listened to any of my music, of course I want to invite you to check out my music on any major streaming platform. Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, iTunes, YouTube, etc. Look for Catherine Corelli. Catherine with a C, Corelli with a C. If you want to check out my YouTube channel, I'm going to put a link here in the footnotes. There is a link to my YouTube channel. And for the most part, I'm focusing on two playlists. One is the Cat Talk series, where for the most part, I'm talking about social issues, political issues, that kind of stuff. And then the other one is Cat Vibes. So if you are interested in what is my recording process like, and, you know, kind of more of a background, backyard occasionally footage that is rather chill, check out the Cat Vibes playlist. It's right there. Also, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which is skin health and aromatherapy. It's called Southern Caracal, named after a very peculiar and cute cat, a caracal. So southerncaracal.com, go to our website, and we're selling all sorts of soap. We have oatmeal honey soap, which is actually skin healing, has skin healing properties, and I'm not exaggerating, it literally is skin healing soap. So if you have stuff like dry skin, eczema, psoriasis, acne, something like this, and you want to treat your skin properly instead of making things a lot worse by using commercially manufactured soap, check out our website, southerncaracal.com. We also got an aromatherapy line of soaps. We're still well stocked on that. And we got some lotions, which are, again, deeply moisturizing, all natural ingredients, no harsh chemicals, none of that jazz. Check out our products. Check out what we have. We have some bath bombs. We got some lip balms as well. This kind of stuff. So please check out southerncaracal.com. Get something for yourself or for your relatives and friends, and your skin will thank you, and their skin will thank you too. And with that being said, I'll be wrapping up this episode. Thank you very much for spending your time with me. I love you, I appreciate you, and you will hear me on the next episode.